Hello, and welcome to Ladylike Women Who Made It to the Moon, the show all about women, diversity, and feminism in pop culture. This is Ladylike, and I'm your host, Rita Baig. On this show, not only do we discuss feminism and women in pop culture, we also dive into people of color in the industry. The role of minorities in the industry has been an interesting story, whether it be in front of the camera or behind the camera. Today, we'll be talking about the struggles, the hopes, and the dreams from a man who works behind the camera. My guest today is Jonathan Gutierrez. Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
I'm well, thank you. So let's just get right into it. I'm going to start you off simple. Let's get personal. So what inspired you to make movies?
What inspired me to make movies is what inspired most kids to make movies. Growing up watching those, you know, famous, you know, Back to the Future, Jaws, Waterworld, all those, you know, classic movies. Watching them as a kid, you know, really inspires many people. I thought I wanted to be in the movies for a minute. So I tried acting for a minute, found out I wasn't really good at it. So then I eventually made the switch to, like, okay, you know what? Let me just make the movies.
You're better behind the camera.
Yeah, better behind and have more control that way. Yeah.
What movie did you see and made you think that you wanted to do this for the rest of your life? Like, when I saw Back to the Future when I was 7, I was like, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. I want to make something like this. Mm-hmm. So what movie was that for you?
Probably Waterworld. As
really?
Great as a movie that was. Yeah, it was probably Waterworld. Just because of how immersive the world was, mm-hmm. and how just crazy things were going on, I would like go around my house dressed in like Waterworld makeshift garb, you
oh
know?
Oh my gosh, you must have loved the Waterworld like show at Universal.
Yeah.
I hated it.
You didn't like it?
No, I did not like it. I don't know, something about it was just like, I don't like this. I don't know why.
It's so cool. You can finally be a part of the world, which is what I was hoping and dreaming for.
Wasn't there like a weird fish man in it?
Yeah, that was the main character, the mariner.
Oh my gosh.
He was the hero. He wasn't weird. He was the hero.
I haven't seen it in years. So now that, besides Waterworld, what else inspires you?
What inspires me is really telling stories, as most filmmakers do, is tell stories, great stories. Growing up in, you know, the Valley, seeing all these type of diverse people, all kinds of people from all walks of the world, you know, riding the metro, you know, you see a number of characters in there. Just really seeing those people and, like, creating stories in my head, like, well, who is this person? What could they be? Where are they going? Where were they before this, you know?
Yeah, so you're really seeing things through a creative lens. I think that's so interesting that especially with content creators, the way they see the world is so different from when a normal person would see the world. So what, now that we talk about what inspires you, how did you, like, make the leap into, I want to say, pursuing this? Like, who helped you? We all have someone who opens doors for us. So is there anyone that helped you throughout this process?
Yeah. Thankfully, my family, I've always had their support behind me. But really, the big pusher was my high school teacher, shout out to Mr. Massey.
Yes, Chasworth.
Mm-hmm. I was in his film class for like all 4 years. I started, you know, interested, mm-hmm. not totally in it. As the years went by, he really mentored me and coached me throughout, you know, the film industry and, you know, from pre to post production. I did it all just because I wanted a sense of how everything worked. And, you know, he was great.
Wow, that's so great. And just so, like, the audience can get a little visual of you, what do you identify as? Like, what's your ethnicity?
Yeah, I'm just a 20-year-old Hispanic.
just, we're on radio, so we have to, you know, put
right, a little
right, picture.
Yeah, I'm a really good-looking, really smart, intelligent, super tall.
This is not a Tinder profile, I'm sorry. yes, but you are Hispanic, mm-hmm. and you're a minority. So is there anything you face or have seen, like, any type of, you know, discrimination, whether it be from a fellow person of color or even women? Like, do you witness that in the industry often?
Yeah, personally, I can't really recall a situation where, you know, I've straight up seen racism mm-hmm. or experienced racism to myself or for myself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm talking to other filmmakers, they've told me stories about situations where they faced it, or, you know, situations where they were uncomfortable because of certain things people have said or certain way people looked at them. And really, it didn't have to do more than just their race.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's difficult. Would you consider it to be difficult, like, sort of, disheartening for some people.
Yeah, it can be. It can be, definitely. If you know people in this world have a leg up over you,
mm-hmm.
you know, for some people it's like, okay, game over. What's yeah. the point in trying?
Yeah.
Luckily, I don't really have that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is more of use everything as fuel, you know? If this guy says no, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If this guy makes you mad, if this guy makes you sad, whatever it may be, use that to empower you and keep yeah. on pushing.
Do you apply that? Because you're young. You're mm-hmm. 20, and, like, this is an industry that's, like, very heavily dominated by old white dudes. So have you ever, like, come across anyone who doesn't take you seriously because of your age?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that I have experienced, actually. Often enough, I'll do my little pitch about me, you know, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm Jonathan Gutierrez, 20 years old. I have my own, you know, business. I'm a filmmaker. And I'll get, like, this weird look, like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, you know?
Sort of like a little kid playing dress up, right?
Exactly, exactly. It does feel that way sometimes. Mm-hmm. But then you got to show the proof.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is who I am. This is mm-hmm. what I do. Take a look. Or, yeah. like, do you want me to do it for you? I can. You have a business? You have a, you know, you need a story to be told? I'm your guy.
Oh, wow. So you really know how to sell yourself and you have that confidence.
Yeah.
So is that, like, something you would give advice to as someone who is, you know, wanting to pursue this but is, like, kind of doesn't know where to start?
Yeah, absolutely. It's important to be confident in what you're doing. It's kind of hard when you're young because sometimes you totally don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So just believe in yourself and believe what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
and present yourself that way. And it's hard to fail that way.
Yeah, exactly. So did you watch this year's Oscars?
Yeah.
Of course you did, right?
Yeah.
Who didn't? I mean, there's, like, the thing, like, the Oscar's so white, like, mm-hmm. that's been happening, and it's been changing.
Yeah.
You know, we had Guillermo del Toro, we yeah. had...
My boy.
We had Jordan Peele with Get Out.
Yeah, yeah.
And these, like, great minority creators and actors are being showcased, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, how do you feel about seeing that? Like, you know, because I was one of the people who would watch Oscars every single year,
mm-hmm.
and, like, being a kid and, like, just seeing white people and, like, white men and, like, just, like, the same formulaic thing over and over again, and all of a sudden seeing this diversity, like, how did you think of it? What, how did you take from it?
Yeah, it shows that the industry is changing. Mm-hmm. It shows acceptance through the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if it's totally there, you know?
Yeah.
Not quite yet, but that's what it shows. It's great because, like, the last 4 years in a row, I think it's been a Mexican director winning.
Yes.
And, like, even within my family, we talk about that. Movies aren't a big thing we talk about, but when something like that happens,
it's
people take notice.
Yeah.
It's something to be really proud of.
Awesome. And but at the same time, like, an argument people bring up is that, like, if you see a POC director making something, and should you outright support it no matter what, and, like, it just should be free from scrutiny. Do you believe that? You know, because, for example, just to clarify a little more,
yeah.
When Black Panther came out, that was, like, a huge deal, right?
Uh-huh.
Everybody was afraid to call it a bad movie because they were afraid that they were going to be labeled as someone who's racist. They don't like it. Do you think that minority actors and creators should, like, get a free pass? Like, oh, you know, they've never had a chance at it for years, so just...
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't totally think they should get a free pass. I think the work should come and speak for itself. Whether it's good or bad, I can make a bad movie. I'm totally okay with people saying, "Hey, that was a really bad movie."
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't offend me any sort of way. Mm-hmm. It comes down to skill, you know. The problem I think is that there hasn't been too much of that diversity in the industry,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, I think you're right. People are like, "Oh, great! Here's a African American director. He's a Hispanic director. Mm-hmm. Let's praise him all the way."
Mm-hmm.
And that's great and all, but the skill does have to be there.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. And you are a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stories have you produced, and what stories do you want to produce?
Well, I've done a couple. I like to say I like to do real stories about real people.
Mm-hmm.
The first movie I did is about, like, a magic clock that sends somebody back in time.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not super real, but but I like to tell stories about real people, just what they experience, what kind of past they've had, and how that reflects on their now. I'm really big on people in their now, mm-hmm. and how they can better themselves or how they worsen themselves, whatever the character may be. I like to do a little bit of everything. as I do in my business, just a mix of everything. I guess I can't say I totally found my niche or my groove in filmmaking. I'm just really trying it all right now and seeing what sticks.
What sticks. Mm-hmm. Do you ever put a piece of yourself in the work you make? I know that directors, like, maybe they'll have, like, a reference to something from their childhood or a reference to something that inspired them in their films. Do you ever...
Yeah, of course, yeah. There's little Easter eggs I've always thrown in my movies that represent symbolic things personally to me, you know.
Can you tell us one of them?
Sure. For the clock movie... Mm-hmm. And specifically, I chose a clock because in my old house where I used to live as a kid, we had this little pocket watch.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's the device he uses to go back in time.
Oh, so it was just a little, like, homage to...
Yeah, to my childhood and how I grew up. And it was just always around. I don't really know why it was around, but it was. And, you know, it just kind of stuck with me.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you believe that movies should... be working, like, because recently movies have become a lot more reflective on society and, like, societal issues and what's going on in politics, and I don't want to get into politics right now, but do you believe that movies should reflect what's going on in society, or, like, should mirror what's going on, or do you think it should just be in its own plane of this is, you know, a fictional piece of work, mm-hmm, and it should only be taken as that?
Right. Well, it could do both. I mean, it's a movie. It could be whatever it wants to be. If your point is to go out and tell a message about, you know, Black Lives Matter and you know, the injustice that's going on in there, then that should be the movie. Mm-hmm. But if your point is to make just a fun, entertaining movie that doesn't really send too much of a message, but it's a good time, yeah, why not?
Yeah. Do you feel responsible to carry these messages?
Yeah, I guess I could feel a responsibility, you know, just because of the lack of diversity that's within the film industry, to translate that onto film and, you know, show the rest of people, you know, just like other filmmakers have inspired me to do the same for, you know, the youth coming up. Yeah.
Interesting. And I'm going to ask a little more fun questions because
okay,
I feel like we've been getting really serious.
Yeah.
But if you could remake any movie you want, anyone, what would it be and
Waterworld.
Why?
Waterworld.
Waterworld? Really? Yeah. You'd remake Waterworld?
Yeah, yeah. I'll make it better.
Who would be the star in your cast?
Well, if I had it the way I wanted, it'd be me.
It would be you?
Yeah, yeah. It'd be
really?
Me everything, yeah.
And who would be your heroine, the one you're going to save?
Ooh. I don't know. I haven't thought that far, actually. All I know is that I want to do it, and I want to be in it, and I want it to be done right, you know? I just want to be in the world, you know?
Really
recreate the whole world, and, you know,
that's just, like, an interesting thing, because I usually, like, from filmmakers I hear, like, The Shining or, like, you know, Clockwork Orange,
yeah,
like these really deep,
yeah,
intense,
yeah,
films,
really,
and then I hear Waterworld,
yeah,
and I'm,
it's
like,
a simple fun film, yeah. you know just have fun with it.
Is your, like, favorite genre what, like, Waterworld is, like, action adventure?
Yeah, it was for a minute. Of course, with all the really dramatic, great pieces that are coming out, I love those too. I love a mix of everything.
What's, like, one of the best movies you've seen in, like, the recent 5-6 years?
I love Shape of Water.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, that one was so good.
What did you, because that movie is another thing that's, like, low-key, like, really political. And,
right,
like,
of course. That movie's all about acceptance, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, you have, who was Michael Shannon's character? I forget his name.
Yeah.
But he was, like, the total, like, macho man, like, total American, like...
Yeah, yeah.
This is who we are. And then we have, like, the fish man, who's, like, the total opposite.
Right, he's the outsider,
yeah,
and he's looked as a monster, which, I mean, technically he is, but, you know, there are those people that see past that and end up falling in love with a sea fish monster, yeah.
Doesn't it, like, irritate you when people just think of it as, like, a film that's, like, oh, a girl just falls in love with the fish, and, like, that's weird.
Yeah, well, that's what you expect going in, I guess.
Yeah.
But it is a lot deeper than that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, and I think Guillermo del Toro does a great job of telling, like, adult fairy tales.
Uh-huh.
Like, Pan's Labyrinth.
Right. Oh, that's another good one. Yeah.
I love Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what about, like... I think a movie that I loved last year so much and still love to this day is Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel about that movie?
That was a good one. That was...
Because that was a directorial debut. Like, that was, like, his first thing that he put out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could tell he was going to do good work. I don't know if you saw Key & Peele, his show previous to that.
Yeah.
You could tell that guy had good work in him.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw it first in the theater, I was expecting something else. I wasn't expecting it to be so, I guess, jarring, so crazy.
Yeah.
And the theater was with me on that. Mm-hmm. Because you can hear when the twist happened, all that crazy stuff started happening. The theater was like,
yeah.
You know, they just didn't expect it.
Yeah, and like audience reaction. I think that's so cool. I just recently saw A Quiet Place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like a movie I've seen in so long that actually had like response from the audience.
Right.
And I think that's so cool. Like, do you wish to, in your films, to provoke that in an audience?
Yeah. Yeah, very, very much so. I can remember a time I did like a school project.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little film, like this Civil War film, and it was like the simplest, funnest thing ever, you know?
Yeah.
And in one part, the movie goes on and one of the main characters gets shot. And I was watching it in the room
mm-hmm.
with all my classmates.
Yeah.
And when that guy gets shot, somebody audibly went,
yeah.
And that was the first ever reaction I've ever got for any of the films I made. It was my first film ever.
Oh my gosh.
And that right there was like, whoa. Like, did you just really react to, you know.
So that like sort of like gave you more confidence.
Absolutely.
To
really
pursue it.
Yeah, something as simple as that. That mm-hmm. reaction right there was everything, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay, so now we're going to bring it back to a little more serious.
Okay.
Just to give you the warning.
Okay, good. Thanks.
And so minorities is what I wanted to talk about. So how do you help minorities? I remember we were talking about like how you're with your production company and with your own business. So can you tell us about your business and your production company?
Sure. Yeah, I'm in the middle of launching my own production company. It's Promark Pictures, PP for short. And I've just teamed up with a number of really great, talented individuals, all diverse. I mean, including everybody, you know, really talented. We all have the kind of same mindset, like kind of go-getter, get it done. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who's stopping us, what's stopping us, just get it done. And I've also worked with this film program called Inner City Filmmakers. It's a program that focuses on helping minority and diverse youth through the filmmaking industry.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically educate them on A to Z, from pre to post-production.
That's amazing.
Just everything. And they actually bring in professionals to talk to them about the industry and their experiences. And they kind of teach them the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an opportunity that otherwise I don't think would be really provided to diverse and minority youth because the industry is so close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's difficult to, like, penetrate it. It's like the worst word to use, but you know.
Yeah.
So how do you think that this can be beneficial to youth? That's like a number one concern that people have. You know, this is just a hobby.
Mm.
Like, this is just something like, oh, you know, it's something you wouldn't pursue as a career.
Right.
So what do you think are the benefits?
I mean, based off what I've learned, I mentioned Mr. Massey earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What he's taught me is basically what I'm implementing to my business now. He's given me the skills to kind of, you know, make a living off. How invaluable is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Same with the film program, Inner City Filmmakers. They give you invaluable skills that, I mean, even if you're not going into the film industry, you can use those skills creative, logistically, or whatever it may be in your life to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Those skills, which otherwise might not be provided.
Yeah, exactly. And what do you plan to do with your production company? Like, where do you want to take it?
Yeah, so I'm really open to working with all kinds of businesses. I love telling stories, so I want to tell your story, your business's story. If you're a musician, I want to tell your story through an awesome music video. If you're a model, I want to tell a story through a fabulous portrait.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
So it's like a little bit of everything.
It's a little bit of everything. Yeah. It's something that I've been really wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
As a means to tell a story. I just don't want to tell my own. I want to tell other people's, and I want to help them along the way. And Promark Pictures does that.
Oh, wow. That's great. And another thing I want to mention is your future. And a lot of people I meet who are attempting to be in the industry, the number one thing they bring up is, like, awards. Like, oh, I can't wait to give my Oscar speech.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think about stuff like that?
I used to as a kid. You know, I guess the dream is always to, you know, be on stage
yeah.
with the Oscar, you know. But more of my dream now is not only to help myself, but, you know, to help, like I said, everybody else along the way. I have a passionate team that I really hope to, you know, bring up with me wherever we may end up, you know, hopefully.
Yeah. Do you think that you have to, like, sort of, with women, especially mm-hmm. in this industry, like at Cannes Film Festival, only 83 women were nominated in comparison to like 11,000 men.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you are obligated or have a duty to include female filmmakers and female content producers in your own production company?
I don't view it as a duty. I view it as just something that's going to happen either mm-hmm. way. It's something I'm doing. I work with very closely with a good friend of mine. She's a female filmmaker. She's kind of killing it in the game right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not a duty for me. It's just something that needs to happen. You know, both male and female have the same sort of, should have the same sort mm-hmm. of opportunities as everybody should.
Yeah, I see it the same way. I mean, it's something that's kind of like common sense at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we shouldn't even have to think about it.
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
You know?
So, as we're coming close to the end, do you want to give everyone, the audience, sort of like a little plug-in of what you're up to, what you're about to do?
Sure, yeah. Like I said, I'm in the middle of starting my own production company. Mm-hmm. It's not the first business I've owned, but this is my heart and soul in this business. Pretty much working with local businesses to provide you with, you know, your video photo needs, telling your story along the way. Also with musicians, local musicians. I love young musicians that are on the come up, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Trying to make their way, and you know, if I can make an awesome music video for you, that'd be the best thing ever.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like, what is your number one, just like a final question.
Mm-hmm.
If you could work with anybody, any director, any content producer, any actor, who would it be?
That's a good one.
Personally, I would love to work with either Guillermo del Toro or Angelina Jolie. Those are like two of my heroes.
Yeah.
So is there anyone that comes to mind?
I think kind of a cliche answer. It's the man himself, you know, Steven Spielberg.
Oh my gosh. It's, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he's the biggest name, you know,
yeah.
Growing up, that's the name you hear. You know that name before you even know what he does.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So
and Ready Player One was such a great homage
it was
to
cool,
childhood.
Wasn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So as we are coming to an end, I want to thank our guest, Jonathan Gutierrez, and your production company one more for the audience.
Yeah, Promark Pictures.
Promark Pictures. Check it out. Thank you for joining us today. You're listening to Ladylike on KPC Radio. I'm your host, Rita Bake.